الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue our readings in نصيحة للنساء by عبد الله الوادعية حفظها الله تعالى. In our previous class, we're reading what the author she's mentioning with regards to the prohibition of elections and taking votes to elect presidents and rulers and heads of authority. And the author, حفظها الله تعالى, she mentioned a number of evidences clarifying this, and we had read them in our previous class. And we came to the point whenever she mentioned حفظها الله, ولو قال قائل أنا نيتي حسنة وأنا أريد نصرة الحق ولا يوجد طريق لنصرة الحق إلا بطريق الانتخابات. So if someone were to say now, and she's presenting another misconception or doubt that some have after clarifying the falsehood of the previous misconception and doubt, that if someone were to say, but me, I have a good intention. Ana niyati hasana. Me, I have a good intention. I only want to aid the truth. And there is no way to aid the truth in these days except by taking votes and having elections. So she says, فَالْجُوَابُ, the response to this, النية الحسنة لابد فيها أن تكون مقيدة بالكتاب والسنة والانتخابات فيها ضلال مبين وتلبيسات. She says the response to this is that a good intention, it must be in accordance to the book and the sunnah. The good intention, it must be checked by the reins of the legislation and according to the book and the sunnah. It must be checked by the reins of the legislation and according to the book and the sunnah. In these elections, they are clear misguidance and deception and trickery. They are clear misguidance and deception and trickery. And now she's going to mention a number of points clarifying the misguidance and the deception that occurs with regards to these elections. But the point here that she's making is of utmost importance to realize and understand, not only in this aspect, but in every aspect of the religion. People, they say the likes of these affairs, أَنَا نِيَتِي حَسَنَةً, me, I have a good intention, as if this is sufficient to establish the action of worship, or as a proof and evidence for the correctness of the deed or the statement and the likes, and this is not sufficient. This is not sufficient. No doubt the good intention is one aspect for the acceptance of the deeds, but likewise, outwardly, the action also must be in accordance to the legislation and that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he came to those people who were counting the tasbihat and the tahlilat and the takbirat and the tahmidat with stones. One person is counting with stones, saying Allahu Akbar, and all of them are saying loudly after him Allahu Akbar, raising their voices, and they're following him in this manner. And then he would say this 100 times, and they would follow behind him. And then he would say Subhanallah aloud, and they would all say Subhanallah aloud, and they would do this 100 times, counting with stones and pebbles and the likes like this. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he reprimanded them. And then whenever they were trying to make an excuse for themselves, they said, Ma أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا خَيْرًا يَا أَبَا عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ, that we only intend to do good, meaning that we have a good intention. We're not trying to innovate or do anything wrong or do anything bad. We're just sitting here trying to do something good. Our intentions are good and not bad. So at this time, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that famous statement, كَمْ مُرِيدٍ لِلْخَيْرِ لَمْ يُسِبْهُ, how many people intend to do good but they do not obtain it. But they do not obtain it. So a simple intention is not sufficient to establish the actions of the legislation and to establish the deen and to perform the actions that will draw one near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that which will clarify this in a great manner is that which is collected by Bukhari Muslim from the hadith of Al-Bara' ibn Azib radiyallahu anhuma. And he mentions radiyallahu عنهما. He says, خطبنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الأضحى بعد الصلاة. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he gave us a sermon on the day of Eid al-Adha after the Salah, meaning after the Salah of Eid. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى صلاتنا ونسك نسكنا فقد أصاب النسك. that whoever has prayed this prayer of ours, meaning the Eid prayer, with us in this manner, and he slaughters the way that we slaughter, then indeed he has obtained the sacred rites, meaning he has slaughtered the Udhiyah on that day, and his slaughter will be accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will be a great action of worship that will be a means to draw one near to Allah. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa man nasaka qabla as-salat fa'innahu qabla as-salat wa la nusuka lah. And whoever slaughtered his animal, his udhiyah, on the day of Eid, on that day before the prayer, then it is before the prayer, and he has no sacred rites. And he has no sacred rites. Meaning that this particular action of worship, which is the udhiyah, it must be slaughtered after the Eid prayer. After the Eid prayer and not before that, or else it will not be accepted. And this is the legislation that is clarified in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what he's mentioning here. The point of this issue now is what Al-Bara radiallahu anhu, he mentions about one of his uncles. He says, فَقَالَ أَبُو بُرْدَةَ إِبْنُ Niyar, Khalul Barra. So Abu Burda ibn Niyar, he says, and he is the uncle of Barra from his mother's side, radiyallahu anhum. Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa'inni nasaktu shati qabla as-salat, wa araftu anna al-yawma yawmu aklin wa shurbin, wa ahbabtu an takuna shati awwala ma yuthbahu fi bayti, fadhabahtu shati. Qabla an ati as-salat. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, and after hearing the sermon, radiallahu anhu, he stands and he mentions to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, indeed I slaughtered my sheep, yani my udhiyah, my sacrificial animal. I slaughtered it before the prayer. I knew that today was a day of eating and drinking. I wanted that my sheep will be the first to be slaughtered from my household. So therefore I slaughtered my sheep and I ate from that before I came to the prayer. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم شاتك شات لحم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that your sheep is a sheep of لحم. شات لحم, يعني شات, is a sheep for meat, meaning that it was not accepted as a sacrificial animal. It's only lawful to eat from. Meaning that the animal that he slaughtered is considered like any other animal that is slaughtered by a Muslim, and it's lawful to eat. But it's not a means to draw near to Allah as an action of worship in this manner. It's not considered an udhiyah. So this narration is very clear. That a good intention is not sufficient. Had a good intention been sufficient, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would accepted that from Abu Burda bin Niyar radiallahu anhu. He's clarifying here his whole intention behind slaughtering in the first place. He knows that today is a day of eating and drinking. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned about Eid al-Adha and Ayyam al-Tashriq, Ayyam al-Aklin wa Shurbin wa Dhikrin Lillah, that these are days of eating and drinking and remembering Allah azza wa jalla. And this is something known about these days of this particular Eid. So he's hastening to do good, and he wants his animal to be the first slaughtered on that day from his household, competing to do good and to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore he hastened, not knowing this particular ruling, and he slaughtered before he came to the Salah. And he clarified all of this in great detail to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he has a good intention, and this is the reason why he did it, competing for the goodness, hoping for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal, and it was still not accepted. Because outwardly it was not in accordance to the legislation. It was before salat. So therefore it's just considered a regular animal that is slaughtered, that's permissible and lawful to eat from, but not a means of drawing near to Allah, not a sacrificial animal that is a means to draw near to Allah on that day. So had a good intention been sufficient, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have accepted that from him. But even in this case, whenever it's clear that he has a good intention and he's making his excuses. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not accept that good intention alone whenever it's in violation of the law and legislation that is prescribed. So therefore, anyone who does something contrary to the law and the legislation that is prescribed, and then he uses this as an evidence, it will not be accepted from them. Oh, but I have a good intention. Oh, but I have a good intention. But good intentions are not sufficient. No doubt, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama al-amalu bin-niyyat wa innama likulli imrin ma nawa." That indeed the deeds are but by way of the intentions, and everyone will have that which they had intended. But this is with regards to the condition, the legislative condition of the action to be accepted from the inward aspect, from the inward aspect. Because likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa radd." That whoever does an action that's not in accordance to our affair, not in accordance to our deen, not in accordance to our laws and legal ways, then it will be rejected. Then it will be rejected. So this is the condition clarifying the requirement for the deed to be accepted from the outward aspect. From the outward aspect. So for the acceptance of the deeds, there are two conditions. One of them from the inward aspect, from the aspect of the heart and the intention, and one from the outward aspect and how it's performed outwardly. So the inward aspect is the intention, and it must be pure and sincerity for the sake of Allah alone. And the outward aspect is that it must be in accordance to the laws and legal ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the action was lacking one of these points here, or both of them, it will be rejected. And the clearest example of that is this narration here, how the udhiyah of Abu Burda ibn Niyyah radiallahu anhu, this noble companion with this noble intention, was rejected and not accepted. Raddum, because it is a deed that's not in accordance to the laws and legal ways that were revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This issue here is of utmost importance to realize and to understand, to know and to believe and to strive to implement and abide by in one's life. And if not, then one, he will meet his Lord on the Day of Judgment, and his deeds will be like dust particles in the winds of no benefit whatsoever. Haba'an manthura. They will not be accepted except in this manner. They will not be accepted except in this manner. So we continue reading with the author. She's mentioning, Hafidhahallahu ta'ala, clarifying now some of this dalal mubin wa talbisat that is found in these elections, this clear misguidance, and likewise these deception and trickery. Wa min dhalika, هم يكونون قد أعدوا الرئيس ونائبه وأعدوا الوزراء فقط يضحكون على الناس. Then these people here, those politicians and the likes, though they have already prepared the president, and they have already prepared the vice president, and they have already prepared the ministers, and they're just laughing at the people. They're just laughing at the people. What she's saying is that, and he's tricking the people to believe that their votes really count. That their votes really count, and that their vote makes a difference. And this is not the case. We have seen that in recent history, whenever the one they wanted to win did not have the proper votes, and then suddenly votes were found from nowhere. And then next thing you know, the man is a president. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. فَهَذَا أَوَّلُ تَلْبِيسٍ مِنْ تَلْبِيسَاتِهِمْ. So this is the first deception from their deceptions. Yani how they play games with the people and make them think that they're participating and that their votes are important, and that their statement is important, and that they listen to them, and the likes like this. And in reality, they're going to put in place those who they want to be in place, and then sit back and laugh at the people. فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمُهُمْ فَأَطَاعُوا وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ قَالَ وَهَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ عَدُّوهُمْ بَعْضُهُمْ جَوَاسِيسَ مِنْ أَجْلِ أَنْ يَكُونُوا جَوَاسِيسَ فِي الْأَمْنِ السِّيَاسِي وَيَرْفَعُونَهُمْ وَيُعْطُونَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِ أَنْ يُنْتَقَبَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ آلَةً. And these people here, that they prepare them, some of them they're spies. Some of them they are put in place in order to spy on the government, on the political safety. And they raise him and they give him in this manner in order to be selected and chosen, in order to be an instrument for them that they will use at their advantage and benefit. So she says, number two, الانتخابات لم تكن على عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The elections, they were not found in the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. In this particular point here, we discussed in our previous class in great detail and great clarity what ولله الحمد. And this particular point here, we discussed in our previous class in great detail with great clarity ولله الحمد. Number three, she says, الانتخابات فيها تسوية الرجل الصالح بالرجل الفاسق. فيها تسوية الرجل الصالح بالرجل الفاسق. In holding elections, there is making equal and bringing to the same level righteous man with a wicked man. A righteous man with a wicked man. Maybe, for example, there is people who are up for election. Maybe one of them could be a righteous man, pious man, and another one, maybe he's a liar, or even maybe a disbeliever. And this is the case in some countries. In some countries, they'll have a Muslim man up for running for government. Well, maybe he could be righteous and pious. Then there can even be a disbeliever. He does not even believe in Allah in the last day. And then now they have equal opportunity and equal status and rank with the people. Even the one who is righteous could even be belittled and not voted for and taken away and pushed to the side. So this is putting the people of piety and the people of evil and wickedness at the same level and in the same rank, as if they're equal, as if they're equal. And this is not the case. This is not the case. The people of piety and righteousness, they're high and lofty in their status and rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the people of sin and transgression are lowly, waliyadhu billah. So she says, Wallahu azza wa jalla yaqul, afaman kana mu'mina kaman kana fasiqan la yastawun. And Allah the Most High, He says, is the one who is a believer like the one who is wicked and evil? No, they're not equal. ويقول, and Allah, He says, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اجْتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ نَجْعَلُهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَوَاءً مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. And Allah the Most High, He says, do those people who perpetrate sins and crimes think that we will make them like those who work righteous deeds equal in their life and in their death? Evil is their judgment. Any that one, he would think that. That one, he would think that the people who are criminals and they commit crimes and sins and actions of disobedience and transgression, that they are going to be evil with the righteous and the pious, those who work righteous deeds. Those who believe and work righteous deeds, they will be equal in this life and in the hereafter, in their life and in their death. سَأَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. How evil is what they judge. How evil is what they judge. وَيَقُولُ تَعَالَى. And the Most High, He says also, وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ وَلَا الظُّلُمَاتُ وَلَا النُّورُ وَلَا الظِّلُّ وَلَا الْحَرُورُ وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَحْيَاءُ وَلَا الْأَمْوَاتُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُسْمِعُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. Allah, He mentions likewise the Most High, that the blind and the seeing are not equal, nor is the darkness and the light, nor is the shade and the heat, and likewise the dead are not equal. Likewise, those who are alive are not equal to those who are dead. It is Allah Azza wa Jal who causes to hear the truth whom He wills. And you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not cause the people in the graves to hear anything. وَيَقُولُ تَعَالَى. And the Most High, He says, أَفَمَنْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقُّ كَمَنْ هُوَ أَعْمَى إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And Allah the Most High, He says, is the one who knows indeed that which is revealed to you from your Lord is the truth, like the one who is blind. It is only those people of sound mind and understanding that will take admonition and remember. That will take admonition and remember. So these verses here and others similar to them, they clarify that the people of piety and righteousness, the people of sincere faith and righteous deeds, they're not equal to the sinners and the disbelievers. They're not equal to the sinners and the criminals and the disbelievers. They're not equal, not in this life and not in the hereafter. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. هم الفائزون. The people of the hellfire and the people of the Jannah, they're not equal. It's the people of the Jannah. They are the successful and they are the winners. So to put people on a podium and to allow people to vote for them on an equal aspect. This one is righteous and this one is a sinner. This one is a believer. This one is a disbeliever. This one is good and this one is clearly evil. It's clearly evil. And then to put them on the podium and let the people vote for them as if they're equals, this is falsehood. This is falsehood. This is falsehood. And this is what happens in elections. This is what happens in elections. She says number four, Al-intikhabatu taqreedun li'adad Islam. That elections is blind following the enemies of Al-Islam. Is blind following the enemies of Al-Islam. وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. And indeed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, and whoever imitates a people, then he's from them. Number five. الانتخابات مساومة بالإسلام. وذلك أنه قد يحصل لهم النجاح وقد لا يحصل والإسلام يعلو ولا يعلى عليه والإسلام يعلو ولا يعلى عليه ولا يعلى عليه. والنصرة والعزة هي للإسلام، فهم يعرضون الإسلام للذلة، فهم يعرضون الإسلام للذلة. So she says, حفظها الله تعالى, that elections, this is compromising Islam. Elections are compromising Islam, and that is possibly the one, for example, it's a believer who is up for vote. Possibly he will win and possibly he will not. Or if he is righteous, for example, possibly he will win and possibly he will not. Possibly he will not. Maybe they will vote for disbelievers. Maybe they will vote for Christian or Jews or atheists instead of a Muslim. Or maybe they, if there are two Muslims and one of them is wicked, maybe they'll prefer the evil one because he's going to assist them in aiding their desires. Because the one who is a good Muslim, maybe he is striving to implement the legislation and to establish the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likes like this, and many people, they're not looking for that. They're looking for another way that they will be able to water down their religion and follow their desires. So possibly the one who is established upon the truth will be rejected and will not win. And will not win. And al-Islam ya'lu wa la yu'la alayhi. Wa la yu'la alayhi. And Islam is something that is lofty and high and is established in loftiness and goodness, and nothing is above it. And nothing is placed above it. And aid and might is for al-Islam. And these people are exposing al-Islam to degradation. These people are exposing al-Islam to degradation. Again, the same situation. If the people wind up voting for the non-Muslim and leaving the Muslim to be defeated in the vote, maybe he will not get any votes or very few votes, and the people will look at him like he's nothing, and he's representing al-Islam. So now the people will look at Islam like it's nothing. Wa'iyadhu billah. So now there's, in this manner, they're exposing Islam to degradation and humiliation. To degradation and humiliation, especially since the people, they believe that this is something legislated and lawful. They will think that this is from Islam in the first place, since the Muslims are doing it. And the likes like this, and this is clearly not from al-Islam, and we have seen the evidences for that. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. So she says, number six, الْإِنْتِخَابَاتُ تَعْتَمِدُ عَلَى الْكَثْرَةِ. الْإِنْتِخَابَاتُ تَعْتَمِدُ عَلَى الْكَثْرَةِ. That elections, they rely upon the majority rule. They rely upon the majority rule, any of the vast amount. Wallahu azza wa jalla, wallahu azza wa jalla. It's like this. It says here, but it should say, wallahu azza wa jalla yaqul. Should write that here in the book. Yaqulu wa qalilu min ibadi ash-shakur, and very few of my slaves are thankful. And very few of my slaves are thankful. And this point here is very important. And this is from the issues of the days of al-Jahiliyyah. And this is from al-Jahiliyyah, wa'iyadhu billah, to rely upon the majority rule to declare something to be good or not. Based upon the majority. So she says, and Allah, He says, وَقَرِيرٌ مِنْ عِبَادِي الشَّكُورِ, and very few of my slaves are truly thankful. وَيَقُولُ, and He says, وَإِنْ تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And if you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were to obey the majority of the people on earth, they would mislead you from the path of Allah. إِنْ يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ. They follow nothing but speculation, and they're only guessing and making conjecture. And if they're not certain themselves, this is of utmost benefit here in refutation of this ideology, of this false ideology. When to tuti' akthara man fil ardi yudilluka an sabilillah. This one verse is sufficient. Allah, He says to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were to obey the majority of the people in the earth, yudilluka an sabilillah, they will misguide you, they will mislead you from the path of Allah. So the majority of the people, they will lead others away from the path of Allah, not to the path of Allah. So therefore, following the majority will never be a proof. Rather, it could be established contrary to that. And the opposite would be something to look at. For this reason, Umar radiallahu anhu, kana yaqul, he used to say, Allahumma ja'alna min al-qilla. Oh Allah, make us from the few. Meaning from the few who are thankful. Any qalilun min ibadiy ash-shukur. Oh Allah, make us from the few. Only a few of my slaves are truly thankful and truly show gratitude. Any are true devout servants and worshippers of Allah Azza wa Jal, beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only are a few. Allahumma ja'alna min al-qilla. Oh Allah, make us from the few. So this is a clarification that the majority, they're upon misguidance. And whoever follows the majority, those they will lead, they will be led astray. And whoever follows the majority, they will be led astray, because the majority of the people are upon misguidance. Because the majority of the people are upon misguidance. وَيَقُولُ وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. And Allah, He says, and the majority of mankind, even if you were diligent, O Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Again, the address is directly to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the majority of mankind, even if you were diligent, will not be believers. Will not be believers. They will not be believers. وَيَقُولُ And Allah, He says, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرُكُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. And Allah, He says, rather the majority of you dislike the truth. Rather the majority of you dislike the truth. وَيَقُولُ وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. And Allah, He says, and the majority of them, they do not have sound-minded intellect. They do not comprehend. And the majority of them, they do not comprehend. And she says, وَرَوَى الْإِمَامُ الْبُخَارِيُّ ومسلم رحمهم الله من حديث ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال كنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في قبة. And she says that it's been narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that he said that we, one time we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a qubba, in a tent. فَقَالَ أَتَرَضَوْنَ أَن تَكُونُوا رُبَعَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would you all be pleased to be a fourth of the people of Jannah? قُلْنَا نَعَمْ. We said yes. فَقَالَ أَتَرَضَوْنَ أَن تَكُونُوا ثُرُثَ Ahl Jannah. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you pleased if you would be a third of the people of Al-Jannah? Qulna na'am. We said, yes. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walladhi nafsi biyadihi, inni la'arju an takunu nisfa ahl Jannah. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hands, meaning I swear by Allah Azza wa Jal, that indeed I hope that you will be half of the people of paradise, and meaning his followers, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَذَاكَ أَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ لَا يَدْخُلُهَا إِلَّا نَفْسٌ مُسْلِمَةٌ. And that is because the paradise, no one will enter it except for a Muslim soul. وَمَا أَنْتُمْ فِي أَهْلِ الشِّرْكِ إِلَّا كَشَعْرَةِ الْبَيْضَاءِ فِي جِلْدِ الثَّوْرِ الْأَسْوَدِ أَوْ كَشَعْرَةِ السَّوْدَاءِ فِي جِلْدِ الثَّوْرِ الْأَحْمَرِ. And you, meaning the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in comparison to the people of paganism and polytheism, is nothing except the likes of a white hair on the body of a black bull, or like a black hair on the body of a red bull, meaning very, very few. The majority of mankind, they are misguided. They are deviants. They are disbelievers. They are upon falsehood. And only a few have entered into the fold of Al-Islam. And then from those Muslims, only a few are holding fast to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from them, only a few are obedient to Allah azza wa jalla in public and in private. Allahumma ja'alna min al-qillah. Oh Allah, make us from the few. Oh Allah, make us from the few, from your grace and your mercy. And she says, حَفِيظَهَا اللَّهُ وَوَجْهُ الدِّلَالَةِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَدِلَّةِ أَنَّ الْكَثِيرَ فَاسِقُونَ وَأَنَّ الْقَلِيلَ هُمُ الصَّالِحُونَ وَهَؤُلَاءِ يَرُدُّونَ الْأَمْرَ لِلْكَثْرَةِ. And the aspect of proof from these evidence is that the majority are corrupt and wicked, and only a few are righteous. And these people, they're returning the affair back to the majority. So the majority are corrupt and wicked. So if you let the majority who are corrupt and wicked choose and select who is going to be a leader, they're not going to pick the pious and righteous. They're going to pick the corrupt and wicked. They're going to pick the fools and the ignorant. And they're going to pick the misguided and the deviant. They're going to pick those whom they love. Those who are like them. الطيور على أشكالها تقع. Birds of a feather flock together. They're going to choose the likes of them. So you never leave it up to the fools, the majority, to make decisions for the important affairs. Only fools do that. Any of the majority. والله المستعان. والله عز وجل يقول عند الله the Most High, he says, وما اختلفتم فيه من شيء فحكمه إلى الله. And whatever you differ amongst, and whatever you differ amongst, then the ruling is with Allah. And then you return to Allah to obtain the ruling and the judgment. ويقول فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن التأويل. And Allah, he says, and if you dispute about anything amongst yourselves, then refer it back to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you truly believe in Allah in the last day. And that is better. And that is better or more proper for final determination. فهل قال نرد الأمر المختلف فيه إلى كثرة. So did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that we should return the affairs that we disagree in, that we should return the disagreement back to the majority, that we should return the disagreement back to the majority? Is this what Allah mentioned in His book? أَمْ قَالَ رُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ فَحُكْمُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Or did He say that we should refer back to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that the judgment will be for Allah? So that the judgment will be for Allah. No doubt, it's the second one. Number seven, she says, الانتخاباتُ تُقَامُ عَلَى التَّسْوِيتِ وَالتَّسْوِيتُ تَاغُوتِي وَمُحَرَّمٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. And elections are established by voting. And voting is from the ways of التاغوت. Voting is from the ways of التاغوت. And this is forbidden in Islam. التاغوت, يعني ما تجاوز به العبد حده من معبود أو متبوع أو مطاع. كما ذكر ذلك ابن قيم رحمه الله. The تاغوت ما تجاوز به العبد حده. The تاغوت is something that will cause a person to go beyond the limits. To transgress and to violate the sacred rights of Islam and that which is lawful in the deen. By way of an object of worship, or by way of following another, or by way of obedience, So in this manner, this is a type of tawud, waliyadu billah, these elections, in this manner, allowing great violations to occur in the religion. From that, what she's mentioning here, that Islam is jeopardized and could be even humiliated and degraded, waliyadu billah, and likewise putting the righteous and the wicked all together on the same platform as if they're equal, so on and so forth. All of this is a means of transgressing the limits and violating the boundaries, waliyadu billah. So therefore, it's forbidden in Islam. So therefore, it's forbidden in Islam. And after this, she says, قال الشيخ يحيى نعم لأنه تحاكم ورجوع لأقوال البشر في أمور دين الله عز وجل ما يحتاج وما يحتاج الناس في ذلك فمثل هذا التسويت طاغوت. And she mentions here that Sheikh Yahya, he said, yes, this is because this is taking judgment, taking the judgment and returning the affairs to the people, back to the statements of the people and the affairs of the religion. وَمَا يَحْتَاج, it says, وَمَا يَحْتَاج اللَّهُ النَّاسِ. The word Allah, Allah knows best, is a typo here. It should not be here. وَمَا يَحْتَاجُ النَّاسُ فِي ذَلِكَ. And what the people then need with regards to that. مِثْلُ هَذَا التَّسْوِيطَ طَاغُوتَ. So the likes of this voting is a طاغوت, a means of transgressing the boundaries. Here she's referring now to, she says, خَالَ الشَّيْخ يَحْيَا. We know that this book here is old. Let's see whenever the print was. The print was in 1426, which is 2005. So no doubt this is in reference to Yahya al-Hajuri. And the people of knowledge since this time, and he have refuted him and warned from him. This book was written clearly in the life of Sheikh Muqbil, rahimahullahu ta'ala. But after his death, there were great trials and fitna that occurred there with this individual. So this is what this is referring to. But this person here, we did not take from him anymore. We mentioned that briefly so that no one will be deceived. So she says now, قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High, He says, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوْ الْخَوْفِ أَذَّاعُوا بِهِ وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. She mentions now the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in Surah An-Nisa. Which is in Surah An-Nisa, which means when there comes to them some matter touching public safety or fear, they make it known among the people. If only they had referred it to the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or those charged with authority among them, the proper investigators would have understood it from them directly. Had it not been for the grace and mercy of Allah upon you, you would have followed shaitan except for only a few. Until the end of the verse. وَلَوْلَا فَضُّ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَاتَّبَعْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Had it not been for the grace and mercy of Allah upon you, you would have followed shaitan except for a few of you. So she says, now, likewise, وَقَدْ يُقَالُ لِمَاذَا أَنْتُمْ تَقُولُونَ التَّسْوِيتُ طَاغُوتِي وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ. So now somebody may say likewise, presenting another misconception and doubt. She says that they may say, why do you say that voting is طَاغُوت, a means of transgressing the limits, whenever Allah the Most High, He says, and the affair of the believers is that they have consultation amongst themselves. She says, وَقَالَ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And Allah, He says, ordering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you must take consultation with them, meaning with your companions, radiallahu anhum, in the affair. وَعُمَرَ رَضِيَ عَنْهُ جَعَلَ الْخِلَافَةَ فِي سِتَّةٍ وَأَمَرَهُمْ أَنْ يَتَشَاوَرُوا فِيمَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَنْ الَّذِي تَكُونُ لَهُ الْخِلَافَةُ مِنْهُمْ. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he made the khilafa, the leadership after him, to be in six. And he ordered them to take consultation amongst each other and to choose who is going to have the leadership after him. So she says, فَالْجَوَابِ, the response to this is, أَنَّنَا لَا نَمْنَعُ شُورَى بَيْنَ أَهْلِ الْحَلِّ وَالْأَقْدِ فَالْمَسْأَلَةُ أَنْ يَجْتَمِعَ مَجْمُوعَةٌ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْحَلِّ وَالْأَقْدِ وَيَخْتَارُونَ لَهُمْ إِمَامًا قُرَشِيًّا مُتَمَسِّكًا بِالسُّنَّةِ. So she says the response to this is that we do not forbid anyone from having consultation, and that the consultation will be from the people of al-halli wal-aqd, yani the people of sound mind and understanding who are known for their knowledge and their deen, and their firm positions in important matters. So the issue here is that there will be a group of people from the scholars, from the people of knowledge and the people of authority, of sound mind and religion, knowledge and etiquettes and manners and diligence in these affairs, and there will be a group from them who will gather, and they will choose amongst them an imam, a Qurashi imam that holds fast to the sunnah. So this is the issue here, that no doubt وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ, in the affair of the believers, is that they make consultation between each other. But after making consultation, وَشَاوِرُهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. So Allah, He told His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yes, then you make consultation with your companions, but then whenever you have chosen a decision and you're firm about that, then you move forward and you put your trust upon Allah. So the person of authority, he will take consultation and get advice and direction from those around him who are qualified, and then he will listen to each of their opinions and their suggestions, and then he will seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla in selecting the proper decision, and then he will have firm resolve and determination and follow that. So having consultation is not taking votes. There's a difference between taking votes and the majority rules and the likes like this. So taking consultation is something beneficial and praiseworthy. And whoever takes consultation and gets advice from the people, then he will never regret. But he will not make make the consultation something that is binding. Whether he will listen to the opinions of the people and their suggestions, and then he will choose that which is best in his heart and his mind, seeking the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and then implement that. So this is what is referred to here. And whenever Umar, he chose those six, radiallahu anhum, then they had consultation amongst each other, and they selected and chose the one that is proper after that consultation. Then there was a decision that is made. They made their suggestions, and they came to a conclusion, and then the decision that is made in this manner like this, and it has nothing to do with voting and the majority rule. As we have seen before, the majority, they do not believe. أكثرهم لا يؤمنون ولا يعلمون ولا يعقلون ولا يشكرون. The majority of them did not believe. The majority of them did not know. أكثرهم لا يفقهون. They do not understand. They do not have a sound mind. They are not thankful. وأكثركم للحق كارهون. And the majority of you dislike the truth. وليهذ بالله. So the majority is never a proof. Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, he says, he said whenever there was a discussion about the jama'ah. He said that he asked one of the tabi'een, do you know what is the jama'ah? He said, it's the majority of the people. And he said that the majority of the people, they opposed and left off the jama'ah. He left off the jama'ah and he said, رضي الله عنه, الجماعه من وافق الحق ولو كنت وحدك. The jama'ah is the one that's in accordance to the truth, even if he's alone. Even if he's alone. So the majority of the people, they have turned away from the jama'ah, and he turned away from the haqq, turned away from the tawheed, turned away from the sunnah, turned away from the salafiyah haqqa, turned away from the correct and clear way. The majority of the people, they're upon falsehood and misguidance, and they follow their desires. So the point is, this issue here is clear that following the majority is not proper nor correct. And it's not a means of understanding that which is good or that which is bad. Rather, that which is a scale for this and the criterion is the book and the sunnah and the understanding of the salaf of this ummah. Inshallah, we continue from this point in our class to come. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.